Hi and welcome to another podcast from The Human Diver, where we are looking to apply counter-errorism techniques in diving. By that we mean human factors and non-technical skills. Our goal is to give you the knowledge and skills so that your dives are safer and more enjoyable. The podcast is a mixture of short podcasts based on the blogs we have and longer podcasts, which will be interviews or discussion topics. Show notes will be provided so you can dig deeper if you want. Ready to jump in? In last week's blog, I mentioned that there is often a degree of difference between what the people who wrote the standards imagine the work will look like versus what actually happens. I thought I'd dig a bit deeper into that, as that's only half the story. Imagine it's your job to write the standard operating procedures, SOPs, work instructions or employee manual for a job. You know how you would like the job to be done. This is work as imagined. You're most likely thinking of the best way to do the job, using lots of resources, the best people, no budget restrictions, at the highest quality. Then reality kicks in. You have finite resources, staff who need some guidance, and of course there's always a budget, and it's probably smaller than you'd like. You now need to write the SOPs within these constraints. Even if you have unlimited resources, what you write may be different to what you are imagining. This is work as prescribed. This won't be the ideal situation you imagined earlier, but it's the best you can ask for. And of course, it will be followed to the letter, right? Your workers receive the SOPs. They look through and realise that it's not possible to complete everything according to the standards. Or maybe they know the job better. They're the ones doing it after all. And so can see other ways of doing things. Or perhaps there are other constraints that you hadn't thought of that they need to work within. This is work as done. It likely won't be according to the standards that they have been given, but should still get the job done. After the job is complete, you ask them how it went. Maybe they like you and want to please you, so they tell you that everything went really well, all according to standard. Or maybe they think you're stupid, because they think the SOPs you wrote weren't as good as what they came up with. So they nod, smile, and tell you everything went according to standard. Because what's the point of correcting someone they see as an idiot? Or maybe they save themselves some time or money by taking shortcuts, but don't want to get in trouble, or maybe there's no psychological safety, and they know that by telling you the truth, they'll just get shouted at, or worse, punished. This is work as disclosed. This is where things can get really tricky. If you, as the person in charge of standards, are unaware of problems in the standards, then those problems won't get fixed. If the people don't know the reason for the standards and think they know better, they may be making something different to what is required. If they are skipping steps or sections to save time or money, they may have done something dangerous. Sometimes work as done is incorrect because of a simple misunderstanding. There is a famous photo of a pedestrian stood on the pavement in front of traffic lights that are on red. The sign next to the traffic lights reads, "When red light shows, wait here." Most people will understand that the sign is written for vehicle users. The walker who has stopped is clearly doing the wrong thing, but believes she is doing the right thing. Some people will comply with the standards, but do so in a manner that exposes the flaws, contradictions, or unintended consequences of those rules. Commonly known as malicious compliance, they are technically following the standards, but undermining the intent of them. This behaviour is often driven by frustration, a desire to point out flaws, or to highlight the impracticality or absurdity of the rules. If we can find out the truth about work as done, we can understand what is really happening, and what needs to be changed, and why it needs to be changed. This isn't easy. In diving, we see people breaking standards for all kinds of reasons, see last week's blog, whether to save them time and money, because they are pushed into doing it by employers or influenced by the local culture, because they believe they know better, or from pure ignorance. We often use a diagram of overlapping circles to show the different terms. The more those circles can line up, the closer the reality of the standards. If the circles are far apart, we will end up with something very different to what we expected. In diving, we have a huge inconsistency of work as done. Some people follow the standards to the letter, others use them as a rough guide. This is for all the reasons mentioned above, and probably a few more I haven't thought of. Hopefully some of those differences between work as imagined and work as done can be worked out. Whether it's by changing the standards to better match what is being taught, reducing the authority gradient to allow those teaching to give honest feedback without repercussions, or making it unacceptable to take shortcuts, it's all possible and the conversations are being had about how to make it happen. If you want to add your voice to these conversations, please join the Facebook group, link in the show notes. Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to know more about what was discussed in this episode, head over to the Human Diver website at thehumandiver.com, where you will find details about our education programs, the If Only documentary, The Book Under Pressure, and the many, many blogs we have published there. If you think others should listen and learn, consider sharing the link. Thank you.